Well, good morning. Welcome to week number two of our cyber sermons as we are going through this pandemic, epidemic, separation together. We're trying to improve the quality of the messages that we can bring you, at least the quality of the video and audio. And so we're experimenting and practicing and trying to make it as good as we can for you, for your ministry and hopefully for your edification. One day this will all be behind us and we'll be able to greet each other again with hugs and handshakes and greet in person, not have to do these cyber meetings. And I trust that we'll never take that for granted again. In the meantime, we're going to try to have a video sermon every week and try to make it profitable for you, and you can view it in the comfort of your own home. My only concern is that some of you are going to get pretty used to sitting around and doing church, listening to a sermon in your pajamas, and that's not going to work once we're able to get back together again. So don't get too comfortable with this. This is just a temporary makeshift, make-do situation. We want to get back together as soon as we can. Right now, the president was saying that he wanted people to stay in place through, I believe, April 11, which would be the day before Easter. Unfortunately, Jefferson County has issued issued orders for people to stay at home until April 17th. So it looks like we will probably not be able to have our regular Easter service on Easter, at least. My thought is that after we are able to get back together again, that we'll celebrate Easter the way we usually do. It just won't be on the day we normally think of as Easter. So be thinking about that. Be praying about that. Pray for wisdom for Dan and me, for the church council, and for others as we try to do what we can to make things work in a situation that none of us have ever been in before. So we're kind of muddling through this all together, and we appreciate your patience, appreciate your graciousness in muddling through this together. Wednesday evening we had a Zoom Bible study prayer meeting, and there was some measured chaos going on, but hopefully as I learn how to lead the Zoom meeting more effectively, that will be even better. But it was good to be able to see each other, to be able to talk with each other, and yet be able to do it remotely and safely and more conveniently for some like Rayanne, who have a very long drive to get home after a Bible study. So anyway, we are here. You are there. Hopefully you're feeling like you're here because it looks like a little bit more natural setting than last week. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and we just want to ask you for your grace and wisdom. You've told us, Father, that if we lack wisdom, if we ask you, you'll give it to us. And Father, we need wisdom to know how to minister effectively during this time that none of us have ever been through before. We pray that you'll give us wisdom and grace, Father, and we pray that the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Word, the ministry of encouragement would go forth powerfully in different means than it usually does. But, Father, your power is not limited by a stay-at-home order or lockdown. Father, your power is much greater than that. Help us to have confidence in that. Help us to follow the instructions of 1 Thessalonians 5, to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Father, in this time, may we be rejoicing. May we be praying. And may we be giving you thanks for all the blessings that we have in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and be turning to the book of Philippians chapter 4. This is a very trying time for all of us. As I mentioned, none of us have ever been through anything like this before. We are sheltered in our own homes, trying to do ministries, trying to be effectively. I'm here preaching again to an empty set of pews, an empty building. Maybe you hear the echo. Maybe the sound tells you that I'm here by myself staring at a camera, trying to imagine each of you in your appropriate pew where you usually sit, trying to imagine you listening to this message in person. Hopefully you're just listening to it with your family. This is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not the way church is supposed to happen. And we pray that this is going to be a very temporary thing. And yet I think about Romans 8:28. Paul wrote that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so God is able to use even these circumstances for his good. He's able to use these circumstances for our good. And right now it might not appear how that's going to happen. Our lives have been disrupted. Our schedules have been disrupted. Our families have been disrupted. It's not easy. It's not easy to see how anything good can come out of this. And yet God promises that it will. And we can trust his promise. Now, I encouraged you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. I know when Dan is preaching on Sunday morning, he's been starting through the book of Philippians, but by the time he gets to chapter 4, you'll have forgotten everything I said anyway, so that won't be a problem. Paul is experiencing his own kind of a stay-at-home command. Paul is under house arrest. We read at the end of Acts chapter 28 that Paul spent 2 years in his own house, his own rented quarters. Evidently, you know, when you were a prisoner in Rome, you don't get three squares and a bed. You have to pay your own rent. It says he, verse 30, Acts 28, 30, he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. So evidently he was locked down, and yet he was still able to minister as people came to him. And we're going to find out that God was able to use that mightily. It was during that 2-year imprisonment that Paul wrote the book of Philippians and Ephesians and Philemon. And, oh yes, remember that book Colossians that we've been working our way through? Paul wrote that evidently during the same Roman imprisonment that he wrote the book of Philippians. So there's a connection with what we've been going through in the book of Colossians. Paul had been arrested in Jerusalem because he was preaching the gospel. He had gone into the temple and a riot got started. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't anything that he had done wrong. And the Romans came to deliver him from the crowd that was trying to beat him to death. And basically at first put him under protective custody. And then he was moved again for protective custody to Caesarea, where he spent 2 years. Just because of the Roman leaders not wanting to release him, wanting to please the Romans, want to keep them happy. So they kept Paul as a prisoner. Then he made that fateful journey to Rome. And finally, after the shipwreck and everything, he was a prisoner in Rome for 2 years. He was a prisoner as a result of a governmental order. Well, that kind of sounds familiar. The order interfered with his ability to travel. He was under house arrest, Caesarea for 2 years, Roman journey, the shipwreck, and then 2 more years in the city of Rome. So for at least 4 years, Paul's ability to travel was totally confined. His ability to minister was limited. He couldn't go start any churches. He couldn't go evangelize people. You know, people who came to him, he could evangelize. And we find out that the runaway slave Onesimus got saved while Paul was a prisoner in Rome. But this order disrupted Paul's whole life. And even during that time, Paul was required to pay rent in his own rented quarters. So it affected him financially. He had all sorts of difficulties and disruption because of this governmental rule, this governmental order that he would stay in a prisoner. And yet, he was able to minister in spite of the disruption. So what I want us to do to look at this passage is I want us to focus on some lessons from a lockdown. Lessons from a lockdown. Take your Bible with me, if you would, and follow along. I'm going to read Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. Follow along with me. Paul wrote, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone." And in a little translation change, verse 16, "For both in Thessalonica and once and again you sent a gift to my needs." Verse 17, "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Then verse 20, "Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Lessons from a lockdown. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to kind of just go through this passage and draw out some principles that apply to the Apostle Paul's life and that I believe we can apply to our lives during this time. Okay, so I just blew my nose, so now it really feels real and normal, right? My allergies are really acting up. Sitting in the office a couple days ago and the wind was blowing and it looked like a snowstorm outside my window and it was just cotton. I mean, cottonwood trees just blowing, filling the air. So anyway, lessons from a lockdown from Philippians chapter 4. Lesson number one, We can rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 10 said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly." Think back even earlier in the letter of the Philippians. Go to chapter 1, verse 18. "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice." Go to chapter 3, verse 1. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you." Chapter 4, verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." We can rejoice in the Lord like Paul was. Now, Paul had a choice. He could focus on his circumstances. He could grumble and complain and rail about how unfair everything was, and he hadn't done anything wrong, and he didn't deserve to be locked up and cooped up and restrained. He didn't deserve to be in lockdown in the city of Rome. He wanted to travel to Spain. He wanted to start more churches. He wanted to win more people to the Lord. After all, he was given the spiritual gift of apostle. How is he going to use that spiritual gift of apostle under house arrest, under lockdown in the city of Rome? How could this possibly be God's will? And yet it was. Paul, at that time, was in God's will. God was allowing this for a purpose. If Paul hadn't been imprisoned, maybe we wouldn't ever have had Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, the so-called prison epistles. If Paul had never been imprisoned, maybe he wouldn't never have gotten around to writing those letters. Think how much those letters mean to us, how much we're getting out of our study of the book of Colossians. But even at that, regardless of Paul's physical circumstances, he had the Lord. The Lord was with him. The Lord was strengthening him. The Lord was encouraging him. He could rejoice in the Lord in spite of his circumstances. And so can you and I. We may be in lockdown in our homes. We may not be able to travel or go shopping or come to church. But they can't take the Lord away from us. No governmental order, decree, lockdown can do that. Jesus said, "I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you." I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Rejoice that you have an inheritance in heaven, which will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You're being kept by the power of God unto salvation. Rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, we have some temporary physical interruptions in our schedules. But the most important thing, the salvation that we have, our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we still have that. The other things in comparison to that are trivial. Trivial in comparison to the salvation that we have in our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we can receive ministry from others. Now, it's like Paul or God is kind of turning the tables a little bit and reversing the roles. Paul had started the church in Philippi. You remember the story of the Philippian jailer, Acts chapter 16? Well, that's Philippi. That's this group. Lydia, the Philippian jailer and his family and others. Paul had ministered to them. He had shared with them the gospel. He had led them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now it's their turn to minister to him. He has to stay in rented quarters and he can't work. So they're going to have to minister to him. They who had been the recipients of Paul's ministry now get to minister to him in return. The receivers now become the givers of ministry. And you know what? Paul had to be okay with that. Paul had to be willing to receive and not always be a giver. Now, I don't know if he struggled with that, but I know a lot of us do. Ministry often is kind of a one-directional thing. It's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be like a bicycle wheel with a hub and everything, all the spokes going out from the hub. It's supposed to be a series of totally interconnected dots, everybody ministering to everybody else. That ministry can still go on. Phone calls, emails, letters, notes, video chats, video sermons. We can receive ministry from others. But that leads us to our third point. We can become creative in ministry. We can become creative in ministry. After Paul left Philippi, he went on down the road to Thessalonica, and evidently in those verses that we read, while Paul was at Thessalonica, they sent a gift to him. And then Paul went on down from there to Athens and from Athens to Corinth. And in Corinth, he was working with Priscilla and Aquila because Aquila was also a tent maker like Paul was. And Paul was not able to devote full time to his ministry. But in Acts chapter 19, it talks about that when I think it's Timothy and Titus came down, or Luke and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul was able to devote himself fully to the ministry of the gospel. I believe the reason for that was because the churches in Macedonia, including the church at Philippi, had sent him financial gifts through those men who came to visit him. Now, unfortunately, that was all land travel. You can go from Philippi to Thessalonica to Athens to Corinth, all on land. Paul's in Rome now. Now, you can get to Rome from land, by land, but it's a whole lot more work. It's not as convenient. It's not as easy. They had to be creative. And so what they did, and we find out back in Philippians chapter 2, was that they had sent a gift by Epaphroditus. Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 25 through the end of the chapter, they had sent some financial gifts to Paul through the hand of a man named Epaphroditus. And in his travel, Epaphroditus became sick and was almost on the point of death. And yet, God spared him and God spared Paul so that Epaphroditus was able to complete his ministry. But the church at Philippi had to become creative. They had to go out of their way. They had to do something unusual in order to get support and gifts to Paul all the way in Rome. They had to become creative in that. Similarly, we're having to become creative in how to continue ministering in this day of the coronavirus and COVID-19. This is part of that. Recording sermons, recording video messages so that you can view them from at home and maintain safe distance. We may have to continue doing that for a while. We had a Zoom meeting Wednesday night for our Wednesday evening Bible study. We may have to continue something like that for a while. Actually, for some people, a Zoom meeting is more convenient than meeting in person. Geography doesn't have to be a limitation that way. Time doesn't have to be so much of a limitation. We can become creative in ministry, like the church at Philippi had become creative so that they could minister the Apostle Paul. There's another lesson from lockdown, and that is we can learn. We can learn. Look at verses 11 and 12. Paul says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." Paul learned contentment. He learned contentment. Now, I'm of the opinion that you don't really learn contentment unless you have something to have to be content with. In other words, if you always have an abundance and everything is always easy for you, you don't ever have to learn contentment because that's easy. There's nothing to be content with and there's nothing to be content about. But imagine how hard it was for Paul. He had been on three wonderful missionary trips. He had started numbers of churches. He had won people to the Lord. And now he's a prisoner in Rome under house arrest. Experiencing financial need, because he says the Philippians had ministered to that need by sending this gift by way of Epaphroditus. And Paul says, you know what? I have learned to be content whether I've got an abundance or whether I have lack, whether I have plenty or whether I have little. I've learned to be content. Now, I don't think any of us would ever choose to experience lack. I don't think any of us would ever choose a lockdown situation like this if we had an option, if we had a choice. But it's not our choice. So what are we going to do about it? Be content. Be content. Paul was a prisoner in Rome, chained evidently 24 hours a day to a Roman soldier, under house arrest, unable to travel, dependent upon others for his daily support, his rent, his food. And yet you don't hear a single word of grumbling about him, from him. He doesn't grumble about it. He doesn't complain because he had learned contentment. Jesus had people following him. And I think Jesus said this specifically to challenge them regarding this matter of contentment. Foxes have nests. The birds of the air have their nests. The foxes have holes in the ground. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I think he was testing to see whether those people would be content to suffer the kind of deprivation that they would have to suffer if they were serious about being a disciple of Jesus. If we're serious about being a disciple of Jesus, we may suffer too. Paul said that, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In the midst of that persecution, there's a temptation to grumble. There's a temptation to give in. There's a temptation to compromise. But there's also the opportunity to be content. Being content with what we have, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we should be content with it, knowing that we have Jesus and He will never leave us, nor will He ever forsake us. Being content with what we have. This world doesn't want us to be content. This world wants us to go out and spend. Spend, spend, spend. That's what every commercial that you've ever seen is designed to get you to do. Designed to get you to be discontent, so you go out and spend money. Paul said he learned contentment from his lockdown experience. I pray that God is teaching us contentment through the same thing. Secondly, Paul learned appreciation. Appreciation. I think often we don't appreciate so much what we have. We like more. We like bigger. We like better. We see other people. We make comparisons. And We compare our car, we compare our houses, we compare our clothes, we compare our computers, we compare everything. I think God wants us to be appreciative of what we have. Maybe you never thought about being grateful for being able to go out and go to the store whenever you want to, or being able to come to church. I think maybe this period of deprivation, this period of lockdown, is going to help us appreciate the freedom that we have when we do have it even more. Paul said that he had learned the secret of both being filled and going hungry. I believe Paul learned to appreciate the things that he had. And I believe he learned to appreciate the Philippians even more, their financial gifts. We can learn to appreciate what people do for us. Some of you have offered to help others if they have a need. Others have said, you know, if somebody needs a ride, if somebody needs something from the store, just let us know and we'll try to help them with that. Appreciating the ministry of other people. Appreciating what we have. Appreciating being able to come to church every Sunday. Again, I pray once we can come to start coming to church again, I pray that we will never take it for granted like maybe some of us have in the past. I believe that we will learn to appreciate a firm handshake and a gracious hug from somebody. Being able to see one another, being able to encourage one another. Maybe you'll appreciate when you come to church that somebody goes to the trouble of cleaning the church for you so you have a clean and safe place to come. Have you ever thought about that? When you come to church on a snowy day, usually the walks are shoveled. And some of you, I think, just take that for granted. Oh, well, yeah, somebody else does that. Have you ever wondered who? The snow doesn't just magically melt off the sidewalk. You appreciate that somebody else cleans the church for you. Somebody else shovels the walks for you. Somebody else sets up and cleans up after communion. All of those things that are part of what we do when we get together, I pray that we're learning contentment to be able to do without them if necessary, but I also pray that we're learning appreciation. We're learning to appreciate what people do and the things that we have. Thirdly, I think Paul was learning priorities. Chapter 4, verse 16, 14 through 16, Paul said, "Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For both in Thessalonica and once again you sent a gift for my needs." And at that point, you could say, oh yeah, Paul's just fishing for another gift. He's trying to butter them up, saying, yeah, thank you for the gift. Keep them up. Look at verse 18. Or verse 17. "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account." Paul said, I appreciate your gift, but you know what's more important than the fact that you minister to me? You're storing up treasure in heaven. Remember, Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 6. Don't store up treasure here on earth where moths and rust break in, and thieves break in and steal, and moth and rust corrupt. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Paul said, I thank you for the gift that you sent me. I'm fully supplied. But more important than that is the treasure you're laying up in heaven. The treasure that's coming to your account in heaven. Priorities. Maybe this time of not being able to come to church will help some of us to reevaluate our priorities. How important is church really to us? Statistics suggest that in the United States, most Bible-believing church-going Christians attend church 3 Sundays a month. They stay at home 1, not because somebody's sick, but just because. Maybe we need some time off, or, you know, I've been tired, or, you know, I don't think I'll come. Hopefully, this period of absence is going to give us a greater awareness of the priority that church, church attendance, church involvement, church ministry, using your spiritual gift and being ministered to by the others with their spiritual gifts, that these are going to be higher priorities to us than they ever have been before because of this period of time when we can't do them. Lessons from a lockdown. We can learn contentment, appreciation, priorities. And I believe Paul learned dependence. Verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul knew that he needed to rely on the strength available from God. Paul wrote of this often. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he wrote, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Paul said, therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my weaknesses in order that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul knew that he was dependent on the power of Christ and the grace of Christ to be able to minister. Ephesians 6:10, Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, depending on the Lord. Colossians 1:11, Paul prayed the Colossians would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Strengthened with all power. Paul learned dependence, maybe in a special way, maybe in a deeper way than he had ever understood before as a result of this imprisonment. Being dependent on the power and the grace of God. Maybe you're learning to depend on the Lord more. We can't depend on ourselves. We're stuck at home. What are we going to do? We have to trust God. We have to depend on his power. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. Depend on him. Our own strength, our own ability, our own mobility has been taken away from us and limited by the lockdown orders, the stay-at-home orders. So maybe God wants us to learn greater dependence on him during this time. Things that we can't do for ourselves. And maybe God's trying to get us to learn, God's going to take care of that. God's going to take care of that. But Paul not only learned dependence, but I believe he also learned adequacy. I can do all things. That's the adequacy part. Through him who strengthens me, that's the dependence part, and you can't separate them. Your adequacy is based on your dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your adequacy is dependent upon him. Keep your finger here. Go with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting in verse 4. 2 Corinthians 3, 4. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Our adequacy comes from God, that's dependence, who also made us adequate, that's adequacy. Many of people that God has used mightily struggled with the area of adequacy. Moses, when God said, I'm going to send you back to Egypt to deliver my people, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, Moses said, who, me? I don't talk good. Remember God's reply? I will be with you. God spoke to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, I'm going to send you to be a prophet to your people. Jeremiah said, I'm just a youth. I can't do that. You know what God said? I will be with you. If we depend upon the Lord, there's that dependency, then we can be adequate for what God calls us to do. We can be adequate for the task that God gives us. So there's this dual relationship that we need to learn, and that maybe by this lockdown, we can learn it better than any other way. That we are dependent upon the Lord, and when we are depending on the Lord, we're adequate for what God wants us to do. Because our adequacy comes from the Lord. We are both dependent and adequate, and neither alone is true. Ephesians 3:16 talked about the fact that His power is working in us. I was chatting with another pastor, a man who's on the board of the mission with me, and we were talking about, this is kind of strange, this is kind of different. I made the comment to him, nothing in my seminary training in any way prepared me to be a pastor during a pandemic. Nothing in my seminary training. He said, you are absolutely right, brother. Nothing prepared me for this either. So what are we going to do? Throw up our hands and say, oh, I can't do this. Or we can be dependent upon the Lord, relying on Him, and He will make us adequate. He will make us adequate. Then I believe Paul learned gratitude in a special way. Verse 18, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Isn't it funny how little things that we used to take for granted suddenly become big things? They become big things when they've been taken away from us. When we're not able to get together as a church, when we're not able to come and go as we desire. I pray that we will have a growing sense of gratitude for what we have as members of Fellowship Bible Church. And that when we can get together again, we will never again take it for granted or diminish its importance. But we will be grateful for every opportunity we have to get together. Grateful for our brothers and sisters in the Lord and Fellowship Bible Church. And then finally, I believe that Paul learned to grow in his faith. His confidence in the Lord, verse 19, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Paul was confident. He had that faith in God. He trusted God, that God was going to take care of the Philippians just as He was taking care of him, Paul. Paul trusted that since the Philippians had been faithful in ministering to him, faithful in the use of the finances that they had been entrusted, that God was going to meet their needs. He talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He talks about that out of their great affliction and their great ordeal of poverty, they gave abundantly beyond their ability. They gave more than they were able to give. I don't know how you can do that. But they did. And Paul said, I'm confident my God will supply your needs. His faith grew during his time of his enforced imprisonment, his lockdown. And so he had these lessons. Lessons from lockdown. We can rejoice in the Lord. We can receive ministry from others during this time. We need to learn to minister creatively. We can learn contentment and appreciation and priorities and dependence and adequacy and gratitude and faith. These are valuable lessons that we can be learning during this time, beloved. God is working in our lives and in our church. He's working in our own personal lives. He's working in our families. He's working in our church. He's working in our society. He's working in the cyber communities. God is using and working during this time in ways that would never have happened if we had been able to continue church as usual. If everything had continued as it has been, a lot of things that are happening now, tremendous things, would never have happened. So go back to chapter 1 with me. Was Paul lamenting and whining, groaning that he wasn't able to travel around, that he wasn't able to do the work? And so God's ministry was being hindered. Was it really? Philippians 1:12. Paul says, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Paul says, not only has the progress of the gospel not been limited by my imprisonment, but they've been expanded. Paul had contact with people, the Praetorian Guard. He had contact with people in Caesar's own household, that if he had not been a prisoner, he'd have never had that ability to have contact with them. Now I want you to know, brethren, that our circumstances right now, this enforced lockdown, can turn out for the greater progress of the gospel. And let me leave you with one more passage. Passage of encouragement. 2 Timothy, the last book that Paul wrote. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. Beloved, they can force us to stay in our homes, but they cannot imprison, they can't lock up, they can't restrict the power of the word of God. God will cause his word to be effective and to bear fruit. Paul had talked about that in Colossians. Remember, he wrote Colossians from this same Roman imprisonment that he wrote Philippians. He talked about the gospel, Colossians 1:5, which has come to you, verse 6, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Give God the glory, beloved. Rejoice in the fact that the gospel is not hindered. The word of God is not imprisoned. God's word isn't on lockdown. Our bodies are, but his word is not. It is going to continue to bear fruit and to increase as it has been. To God's glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the encouragement of your word. Thank you for the encouragement of the Apostle Paul, who, in spite of a lockdown that he was experiencing, was able to say that the word of God, the gospel was going forth with power, that it was not imprisoned, that in fact more was being done for the gospel because of his imprisonment. Father, may that be true in our present circumstances, that Jesus might be honored and glorified in our lives and in those we have cyber contact with, even if we can't have physical contact with. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. May God's grace be with you.